This show contains language and themes that may be considered confusing. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be a
sci-fi. deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. You can send feedback to Derek at deliberatenoise.com. Hi. One other point, besides this being an episode of Sci-Fi Noise, this is also the 800th podcast that I usually try to do something special. Actually, what I usually try to do is come up with a new show idea. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Sci-Fi Noise number one was podcast number 700. Pretty sure. Yeah. Or 600, maybe. I'm not sure now. Anyway, so I'd like to thank everyone who's listened to this and all the other shows in the Deliberate Noise Network that I do. So all right, done with all that mushiness. I was going to do a review of, I was going to do a combo review, a combo episode of the Movie Noise and Sci-Fi Noise. I'm going to take a look at The Fifth Element, but I'm going to have to do that for a future episode. For, let's just call them technical difficulties. But those of you who know me know the technical difficulties usually means I was unhappy with the way it sounded, so I just said screw it right in the middle of it and decided to change gears. And that's what I'm doing. Instead, I'm going to talk about three sci-fi television shows that I'm watching. They're all on the Sci-Fi Channel. Excuse me, it's not Sci-Fi Channel anymore. It's Sci-Fi. Spelled very, very poorly. Every time I see the new spelling for Sci-Fi, I immediately think of syphilis. Just me. Anyway, the shows I'm going to just briefly talk about, because this is not going to be a very long episode at all, are Eureka, Warehouse 13, and Haven. I think that's their Friday night lineup, which really bums me out for two reasons. Number one, Sci-Fi Channel and Sci-Fi have always had really strong Friday nights. But come this fall, they're giving up their strongest night. I'm pretty sure their highest rated night, well, outside of Tuesday. They're giving it up to wrestling, Friday Night SmackDown. And unlike a lot of other viewers of the station, I'm not having a big fit about it because, quite frankly, I like wrestling, you know. I'm kind of bummed that they're going to move these shows. Hopefully they can build up Tuesday night, you know. Just switch, because right now wrestling is on Tuesday, but that show's being canceled, and they're going to have a two-hour show on Friday. So, I mean, they could still have, like, I don't know, their first run show at 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock or whichever one. I'm not sure how they're going to do that, but I'm kind of bummed that they're breaking up this little three-hour block. But here they are. The first one is Eureka. Now, this is season 4, I believe, of Eureka, and this is a great show, all right? Some people may say that it's not great, but I would really kind of argue with them, because this is the type of show that I personally dig, you know. It takes place in a small town that is more technologically advanced than anything else on our planet, you know. I like that. I think that is a cool little, conceit for the show, you know. Because you have a bunch of shows where you have quirky townspeople. And in this case, it kind of makes sense that these people are all quirky because, you know, most of them are geniuses, right? If not all of them. In fact, I think the only one who's not a genius is the sheriff, because everybody else seems pretty damn smart. Even the guy who runs the restaurant, you know? I think the reason he runs the restaurant is because he can make anything. He, like, programs some computer or something. I'm not even sure what, but he doesn't seem like a dummy. In fact, the only one, like I said, who does seem like a dummy is the sheriff, and even then he's sort of TV dumb, okay? Where if everybody's a scientist and they're a genius, then of course they overlook the little things, you know, because scientists are all, you know, absent-minded professor types, and this is a guy who, you know, who will, he's like the kid in The Emperor's New Clothes who said, well, why don't we just do this? And they're like, well, we can't do that. Why not? Well, I don't know why. So then let's solve this, you know, and then that's kind of how they've been doing it for the past few years. However, this season started off kind of cool. And usually, I've said this before, I hate time travel stories because it's just impossible, right? I'm one of these people who believes that, right? And I'm pretty sure that, what's his name, Einstein or somebody else can say, yes, time travel is possible. You just need a big enough big enough power source and all that kind of stuff. And I still contend that time is a man-made construct. And you cannot go traveling through it. But that's just me. That said, this was a pretty good time travel story. All right, and I hate them. I hate them. Except for Back to the Future. I think that was the best one. And this is pretty Back to the Future-ish. What happened was... I can't remember her name now. Sally Richardson. I can't remember her character's name. But by the way, I just want to point out Sally Richardson is who I would have chosen to play Storm in the X-Men movies. But no, nobody asked me. They decided to go with Halle Berry. And after that, made Catwoman. And I'll bet you Sally wouldn't have made that mistake. Anyway, she has a very bright but autistic son. And, you know, a lot of autistic people are very bright at certain things, right? Not all of them are scientific geniuses in real life. Some of them just focus on something and they can do it well. And that's what this kid is. He can focus on science and he can do it really well. And he ended up somehow sending five characters back in time. He sent the sheriff, he sent his mother, he sent Henry, who's played by Joe Morton, who, right there, Joe Morton makes a good show a great show. I don't care who you are. If you don't like Brother from Another Planet, then you're insane, all right? he sent back the deputy, Joe, and Fargo, who's this... scientist geek who's everybody just picks on, right? Because that's what he is. He's mostly used for comic relief. He sent them back in time to the founding of Eureka. I'm not even exactly sure what they did to change time. Well, now that I think about it, yes, they did something very big to change time by accident. Allison, that's her name. All right. So everybody comes back to their own time. And I'm not going to give too many details, but let's just say they come back to their own time to find out things have changed. The girl that the sheriff had broken up with was now living with him. Allison's autistic son was no longer autistic. Fargo was no longer comic relief, but he was in charge of Global Dynamics. Joe was not the deputy, but rather she was in charge of security for Global Dynamics. And Henry had a wife who, you know, she was some very minor character in the beginning of the episode, and by the end of the episode, she was his wife. And she's smart, you know. And that's one thing. And it's funny because she's really, really smart, but that plays out in later episodes. So basically what they did was when they brought everybody over to this whole new timeline, they made drastic character changes because they remember how things used to be, but nobody else does. And so you have this whole fish out of water thing because the first, I want to say season or two, were about this regular, normal sheriff fitting in with all these geniuses, right? So there was that whole fish out of water thing. And now you get into this season where everything is the same, basically, but it's not. And they're the fish out of water, all five of them, because they can't tell anybody what's going on, because there is a protocol in place that if somebody changes time, then they ended up getting killed or something. I don't know. It was a very weak reason, but at the same time, it kind of made sense, because our government would probably do something like that. Say, hey, I came back from the past. Really? Kill it. It must die. That's regardless of which which administration is in place. You know, if you're a Democrat or Republican, you have to admit that if there is a time traveler, regardless of who's in office, that guy's dead. Right. Now, one thing that they did change, this is probably why they changed their whole timelines, is they brought back, by accident, a character from 1940, whatever, being played by James Callis, who was Baltar on the reimagined Battlestar Galactica. he was like a contemporary of Einstein. In fact, they worked together. You know, he's the one who basically told the government that they needed to found Eureka, and then he disappeared. Well, he didn't exactly disappear. He went into the future. So there's the whole fish out of water thing once again. It's a little bit more obvious with him because he came from the past, and now he's seeing all these changes, all these new things. And one of the first things he said is something that a lot of us say is like, wow, I thought they'd be flying cars, you know, which I think is kind of funny, you know, because, yeah, I mean, what's the one thing everybody looks forward to for the future? You know, flying cars. Although, what have we gotten? You know, once we hit the 21st century, we got phones we could carry around in our pockets that are a lot more powerful than, you know, the supercomputers of the 40s, you know, which is fine by me. I like living in the future, you know. I'd like to live in the future with a damn job, but hey, you know. Anyway, so if you're not watching Eureka this season, give it a try. I think it might even be accessible for new viewers, simply because as the viewer, you're also catching up. There's a bunch of different changes that are being explained as we see them, you know, which is cool. You know, there's one thing I'm so glad they fixed. Joe Lupo, who was the deputy, she's a she, and she's pretty damn hot. Was it last season or season before that? They hooked her up with this really obnoxious prick of a character who I couldn't stand him before he hooked up with Lupo. But then afterwards, I was just like, really? Ugh. And they just kept that character. But one thing they have done is they've gotten rid of that relationship, and that's something I'm happy to spoil. So if you couldn't stand that Zane guy, then he's back to being a prick and nobody wants to be around him. And he doesn't have that dopey ass smile on his face all the time. So yeah, check out Eureka. I strongly recommend it. Now that I think about it, probably one of the best sci-fi shows on TV. You know, current running, I'm gonna go with number one. I think the only reason it's number one is because it doesn't air the same time as Stargate Universe, which is the best sci-fi show on TV. Or Chuck is not going to hit up with either one of them, you know. Anyway, the next one is Warehouse 13. Now, Warehouse 13 is about this small group of operatives that go around and they find, I guess they call them artifacts, that kind of belong to famous people, and they're imbued with these special abilities almost. If you've ever seen Friday the 13th, the TV show, where you had all these cursed objects, it's kind of like that, only not as dopey. It is pretty damn dopey, but it's not as dopey as that. the show actually started to lose me last year. I liked the first few episodes, but then it started to drag with, you know, Monster of the Week type stuff. There wasn't any real continuity, because we all know I hate shows that have no continuity from episode to episode, right? And this had no continuity from episode to episode. It was just, they were just there. You know, every week they'd find something new. You know, there's, I don't know, Susan B. Anthony's garter belt, you know, and they have to go find that, and they allow people to walk great distances. And I'm just making this shit up because I can't remember anything, you know. But towards the end of last season, they brought back a recurring villain. There was this whole conspiracy thing going on. And the cliffhanger ended very, very well. You know, we were talking about people dying. We're talking about betrayal. We're talking about, you know, other people on the run. I mean, and it was a really, really good ending. The warehouse was left in shambles. And I liked the ending. In fact, you know, I watched the first three or four episodes, and then I just skipped ahead to like the last two or three. So to me, you watch the first couple so you can get a feel of the show, and then just watch the last two of last season. This season, one of the first things they did was tie up all the loose ends. They introduced a very good new character, new villain, Jamie Murray. If you ever watched the show Hustle from the UK, she was on the first few seasons. If you watch Dexter, she was Dexter's British girlfriend that he was cheating on Rita with, who ended up finding out what he really was about. That was a good season. So she's really smoking hot. And she's a bad guy. So, I mean, check that out. However, this season, they had one episode that just drove me absolutely insane with its stupidity. Insipid. Just one of the worst episodes I've ever seen of any TV show, period. And that was the superhero episode. It probably will get marks for some people because it featured two of the Firefly alumni, the doctor and the girl mechanic. Names I do not remember. Basically, somebody had, was it the belt of Jacob? I can't remember his name now. Jack Kirby's belt, right? I can't remember Jack Kirby's real name. Man, I must be really sleepy. Kurtzman, maybe? Yeah. Anyway. And this gave like superpowers, right? But it was set in the city of Detroit. And if you're going to set something in the city of Detroit, then you should at least find out the geography of the city of Detroit. You know, and that bothered me because there was so much stuff that they mentioned, and there's so many scenes they had outside. And it's just like, you know what? It is impossible for that to be there. Now, yes, people who don't live in Detroit would not notice that, but I'm not one of them. I live in Detroit, so it really, really bugged me, right? And plus, I thought that the only reason that those two guest stars were there were because they were, you know, from Firefly. You know, that's why they were there. That was the only reason why they were there. They didn't really add much to it. The whole superhero / comic book angle seemed really, really forced. I hated that episode. Ugh. And I know I'm probably one of the very few people who did, because, you know, somebody, oh, look, superheroes on TV, yeah. But no, not me. You know, oh, look, it's the people from Firefly. Yeah, you take two of my least favorite characters from a TV show that I didn't even sit through the first episode for. Although later on, I went back and I watched the movie Serenity, and I liked the movie so much I went back and watched the Firefly episodes. And so, yeah, I will admit that it is pretty good, but when I tried to watch that first episode, no, I couldn't even make it through. I was like, what is this crap? And those were always two of my least favorite characters, period. And for some reason, a lot of people say Shepherd Book was their worst favorite, was their least favorite, and I don't get that, you know. Ron Glass always cracked me up, and he was good in this one. Anyway, so yeah, Warehouse 13, Check it out. However, just that superhero episode, if you like it, don't. Make a strong case for him. If you cannot make a really strong case for that superhero episode, then don't tell me that you like it, because I don't want to lose respect for you. Now, the last show that I want to talk about is called Haven, and it's based on a Stephen King short story or a novelette called The Colorado Kid. I think I may have read that one, but I read so much Stephen King that while his novels stick with me, a lot of those short stories and novellas just don't, you know. I think that Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption, that stuck with me because that was a great story. Or The Body, which later became Stand By Me, stuck with me because that was a great, great story. But like Apt Pupil, and a lot of the dreamscapes and nightmares stuff was like, eh. So, this one is pretty much based on a Stephen King story that I don't recall. And I'm pretty happy that I don't, because remember how Eureka had quirky characters and they all had a reason to be quirky? Haven has a bunch of quirky characters that are pretty much all unlikable, you know? And if they're not all unlikable, then let's just say a good 98-99% of them are unlikable. The show is also very boring. It's very slow. It's very plotting. You could tell that they were trying to go for some sort of deliberateness, but it's just, oh my God. It revolves around this, I guess, FBI agent, Homeland Security agent, something like that, who ends up going to the small town and getting mixed up with some weirdness there. But the girl who plays the lead detective is not very good, you know? Unless she wants to play a character who's not very interesting, then she's excellent at her job. But, you know, the character is just boring. There's this one part where her character gets basically tied up, okay? Tied up in a cocoon. And it was really weird because they showed her being tied up in a cocoon, and it was a pretty decent special effect. But then when it went to commercial, okay, cliffhanger. I will sit through the commercial to see how it all plays out. When it came back from the commercial, it was like the next morning, and they explained that the deputy came and cut her out. It was like, wait a minute, you couldn't have shown that? Oh, let's just have a little bit more of them driving around. It's like, it's just, I don't know who the hell. No, nothing. There's like apparently some ongoing mystery. Like this woman is an adopted child, and she thinks that this woman in this picture from a crime scene 30 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, however long ago it was, might be her mother, and that there were some troubles that came along. And it's like, whatever. It's one of those shows where almost everybody has superpowers. You know what I mean? Just like Smallville, only without the meteor rocks. You know, it's just really, really not good, not appealing. I mean, I cannot, in good conscience, recommend it to anybody. Now, like I said, there may be people out there who like it, who like that sort of storytelling, but I'm not one of them because it's not. It's not creepy like X-Files, which I didn't like, or Fringe, which I do like. Because as creepy as those shows could be, they also had actors that could, I don't know, just had screen presence, all right? They had stories that moved along, right? Whether it's sort of a science fiction-y type story or if it's a horror type story, they moved along at a pretty good pace. This one, it's like, really does seem like somebody, this is their first attempt at writing a TV series. That's just how it seems to me. But no, I can't recommend it. You know, I'm glad it comes on last. No. Now, TJ Tunningham from the F-Bomb cast said that Haven has never replayed the pilot and he feels like he missed something. The only thing he missed was wasting like 2 hours of his life. No. The pilot really didn't grab me. As I watched the pilot, I was thinking to myself, I really don't see this show getting any better. I really, really don't. I mean, it's... Ugh. And now, that said, I hope it lasts quite a while. Simply because I would hate to hear about other people getting unemployed, you know? But nah, I won't be watching it anymore. I watched the first three, and I always give shows three episodes, you know? Because that's when most of them start to find their footing. The only show that I can think of where if I stopped at three, I probably think that I would have regretted it, were Dollhouse. Because to me, Dollhouse didn't start to get good until like episode 8 or 9. The Vampire Diaries, which I didn't start to get good until episode 6. I tell you that right now, because that's when they started introducing whole new characters and whole new concepts. And yeah, Vampire Diaries is one show that I really, really dig, even though it's not sci-fi, so I'm not going to talk about it. So anyway, Eureka, strong recommendation. Warehouse 13, recommended. Haven, I recommend you miss it. Okay. Anyway, go ahead and stop by the website, deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi, and leave a comment. Stop by the website, leave a comment, or send an email to Derek@deliberatenoise.com. And if you go to the website, I should have the audio comment line number up, because as usual, I cannot remember what it is, but it's there. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I will be back pretty soon with another episode. I'm gonna see.